Happy Sunday. The content of our program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. Hello, my name is Jim DeJunis, reading to you today from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Holy Bible. And today we're going to start a new book called Joshua, found in the Old Testament. We will also do like we do every Sunday, is we'll start with a prayer and also read from a book written by Sarah Young called Jesus Calling. And before we begin, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious September day. Father, we are so appreciative of your love. You loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son to us, that upon his death and resurrection, a relationship with you is now again possible. You are our Creator, and you are the Creator of all things. May we have that reverence in our heart towards you, Lord. May we bow before you and offer you our love with all our hearts, minds, and souls. May we profess our faith in your Holy Son, Jesus, and may we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, which was his message, is to love you and to love our neighbor. Lord, may the words that we speak today make an imprint on our hearts and our minds, that we may live them and share them with others. And Father, we want to also thank you for the families and loved ones that we have, for the friends and the many blessings you provide us with. We ask this and all things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Sarah Young teaches us this last Sunday of September, "Come to me and listen, attune yourself to my voice, and receive my richest blessings. Marvel at the wonder of communing with the Creator of the universe while sitting in the comfort of your home. Kings who reign on earth tend to make themselves inaccessible. Ordinary people almost never gain an audience with them. Even dignitaries must plow through red tape and protocol in order to speak with royalty. Though I am the king of the universe, I am totally accessible to you. I am with you wherever you are. Nothing can separate you from my presence. When I cried out on the cross, it is finished. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This opened the way for you to meet me face to face, with no need of protocol or priests. I, the King of Kings, am your constant companion." Some scripture to support Sarah's writing this morning first comes from Isaiah 50, verse 4. "The Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He awakens me morning by morning, awakens my ear to listen like one being taught." Another reading from Isaiah, this is Isaiah 55, verses 2 and 3. "Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David." And lastly, from John chapter 19, verse 30, "When he had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.' With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." My wife and I host a few people over at our house every other Monday evening and do a little Bible study, a little discussion. And last evening we were watching a scene from the Mel Gibson movie, The Passion. We have eight people in the room, and for those 6 minutes, not a word was spoken. It was just amazing, the reverence given to a reflection of what actually occurred, right? When we were dealing with actors and actresses, and right, it's just a reflection of what's of something else that has already happened in this particular instance. But the reverence we had for his death and his resurrection was just really touching, really, really touching. Well, if you recall, last week we finished the book of Matthew, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Many, many valuable lessons throughout the entire gospel. But the one thing I want to leave you with before we start on to Joshua is his last couple statements, last couple verses. And this is Jesus speaking. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus' final words in the Gospel of Matthew, really, I apologize, I'm wiping away a tear or two. Just really powerful, very, very powerful. He is with us always. Never forget that. Please never forget that. So as I said earlier, we're going to start a new book. We're going back to the Old Testament for the next couple weeks. And we're going to read the book of Joshua. Before we begin, if you'll allow me, I'm going to do a little prelude here. So bear with me, please. Remember the childhood game, Follow the Leader. The idea was to mimic the antics of the person in front of you in the line of boys and girls winding through the neighborhood. Being a follower was all right, but being the leader was the most fun, creating imaginative routes and tasks for everyone else to copy. In real life, great leaders are rare. Often men and women are elected or appointed to leadership positions, but then falter or fail to act. Others abuse their power to satisfy their egos, crushing their subjects and squandering resources. But without faithful, ethical, and effective leaders, people wander. For 40 years, Israel had journeyed a circuitous route through the desert, but not because they were following their leader. Quite the opposite was true. With failing faith, they had refused to obey God and to conquer Canaan. So they wandered. Finally, the new generation was ready to cross the Jordan and possess the land. Having distinguished himself as a man of faith and courage, Joshua was chosen to be Moses' successor. This book records Joshua's leadership of the people of God as they finished their march and conquered the Promised Land. Joshua was a brilliant military leader and a strong spiritual influence, but the key to his success was his submission to God. When people spoke, Joshua listened and obeyed. Joshua's obedience served as a model. As a result, Israel remained faithful to God throughout Joshua's lifetime. The book of Joshua is divided into two main parts. The first narrates the events surrounding the conquest of Canaan. After crossing the Jordan River on dry ground, the Israelites camped near the mighty city of Jericho. God commanded to conquer Jericho by marching around the city 13 times, blowing trumpets and shouting. Because they followed God's unique battle strategy, they won. After the destruction of Jericho, they set out against the small town of Ai. Their first attack was driven back because one of the Israelites had sinned. After the men of Israel stoned Achan, who was the one who sinned, and his family, purging the community of sin, the Israelites succeeded in capturing Ai. In their next battle against the Amorites, God even provided extended daylight to aid them in their victory. Finally, after defeating assorted Canaanites led by Jabin and his allies, they possessed most of the land. Part two of the book, Joshua records the assignment and settlement of the captured territories. The book concludes with Joshua's farewell address and then his death. Joshua was committed to God. He was committed to obeying God, and this book is about obedience. Whether conquering enemies or settling the land, God's people were required to do it God's way. In his final message to the people, Joshua underscored the importance of obeying God. He said, "So be very careful to love the Lord your God and choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Read Joshua and make fresh commitment to obey God today. Decide to follow the Lord wherever he leads you and whatever it costs. So the purpose of the book of Joshua is to give the history of Israel's conquest of the Promised Land. The author was Joshua himself, but at the probably the last chapter or two was written by a high priest at the time called Phinehas, who had eyewitness to Joshua's final days. The original audience was the people of Israel, and the setting was taken in Canaan, also called the Promised Land. So let's begin with our exploration of the book of Joshua. Chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all your days. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, we will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord God has given you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay here in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all of your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them the rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of their land that the Lord your God has given them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you will send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Chapter 2. There's a little theme there. Be strong and courageous. If we follow God, if we follow his will, if we are aware of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, then we should always be strong and courageous. Who can defeat us? That's not to say we won't lose a battle. We're not going to lose the war. The war's already won. The war's already won. Chapter 2. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent his message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them. She said, yes, the man came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time for the city to close, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You can catch up with them. but she had taken them up onto the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the roads that leads to the fords of the Jordan, and as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up to the roof and said to them, I know the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did in Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to me and my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived was a part of the city wall. Now, she said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourself there for 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. The men said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied the scarlet cord on the window through which you have let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers and all their family into your house. If anyone goes outside your house into the street, his blood will be on his own head. We will not be responsible. For as for anyone who is in the house with you, his blood will be on our head. As for anyone who is in the house with you, his blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell us what you're doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let this be as you say. So she went away, and they departed. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they had left, they went into the hills and stayed there for 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. Chapter 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out to Shittim and went to the Jordan. There they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before, but keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all of Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's water, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. As soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to the cross of the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is its flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap and a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water was flowing down to the Sea of the Araba was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completely crossed the crossing on dry ground. Chapter 4. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests stood, and to carry them over with you, and to put them down at the place that you are to stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each one of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Now the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed the ark of the Lord, and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, armed in front of all the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. That day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all of Israel, and they revered him all the days of his life, just as they had revered Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priest carrying the ark of the testimony to come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priest, "Come up out of the Jordan." And the priest came up out of the river carrying the ark of the covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of the Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken from the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just as he did to the Red Sea, when he dried it up for us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." Chapter 5. Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. At that time the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again." So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath Heroth. This is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the desert on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the desert during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the desert for 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land that he had solemnly promised their forefathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place, and these were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained there where the camp was until they healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, the very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after. They ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate of the produce of Canaan. Keep in mind, they've been eating manna for many, many years. I don't know if it was 40 years, but very close to 40 years. Manna was the food that's how they sustained themselves back in Moses' time. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. So that's the end of chapter 5. We're almost at the end of the time allocated for today. So next week we'll start with chapter 6. But as you can see, Joshua has a very unique relationship with God, one similar to what Moses had. Again, it's still fairly in its infancy, but God encouraged Joshua to be strong and courageous. And the reason to be strong and courageous is that God is always with us. God calls you and me to be strong and courageous. God is always with us. God doesn't leave us. We leave God. When we feel lonely, when we sin, when we do things we shouldn't, it's not because God abandoned us. It's because we leave him. We turn our backs on him. We ignore him. We may even walk away from him. So please, take this to heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul. Well, we've run out of time for this week's episode of Reflections. Be sure to listen to us next week. We hope you've enjoyed our program. My name again is Jim DeJunis for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of our program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. Again, that's 919-832-5138. May God bless you and those you love this day and every day.